We have two calls highlighting parenting. The first is Lisa, who finds it difficult to compassionately respond to her depressed daughter. And then Jordan yearns not to follow in the footsteps of his abusive parents.
Lisa, what's going on today?
I am feeling bad about how I am responding to my daughter and her mental instability. Like, she has all the signs of and is saying that she is depressed and has all those signs. So I believe her, but I just can't empathize with her. I really can't. I go at her like I'm angry with her, and I'm looking for ways to be more compassionate because I don't want to make it worse, obviously.
Yeah.
But I don't understand it either because I know her life. I know that I've sacrificed from the day her and her brother were born. I know that we've given them way too much and spoiled them. So I can't grasp how she has gotten to this point. And therefore, I know that I'm not as compassionate or supportive as I probably need to be for her to get through it.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm looking for help.
Well, I love that you called in for that because we talked about blind spots and you're not being blind to the fact that your reaction to your daughter, it can be more damaging than helpful and you don't like it in you. And that is great, great self-awareness. So thank you so much. That's being a good mom right there. So
thank you.
Let me ask you this one quick question before I hand this over to Sherry. What does her depression mean about you? What's the meaning you give it about yourself? She's depressed because I am fill in the blank.
That I am not a good mother, that I failed her and her brother. You know, we believe we being my husband and I were raised, sort of raised with tough love, you know, and so that's how I've been responding to her. But we lost both of us lost our parents when we were in our teens. We're now in our 50s and it's like, you know, my prayer has always been to be what she needed, to be that resource I didn't have or we didn't have when we grew up. So that, and I've given her everything, but I think in that I've failed her.
Okay, so just stay there for a moment. I'm going to go one level deeper. I want you to stay in your body. I want you to notice your body between your chin and your belly button, as if there's a straight line there. When that belief inside of you that says, I have failed as a mom shows up, where in your body do you feel that?
In my heart and my gut.
Okay. Heart and gut. Okay, good. On a scale of 0 to 10, 10 being like the most intense you would ever feel it, how much do you feel that today?
I would say a 7 or 8. And talking about it is probably at its highest, talking about it.
Yeah, yeah. And as a side note, Lisa, now you see why people can be resistant to therapy, because when you talk about it, it brings it up. But we're going to help move you through that. So I'm going to hand this over to Sherry. Sherry, what do you think here?
So before we go, what's your question?
How can I respond to her? Instead of trying to push her through, I guess, how can I hold her hand through what she's going through? How can I be more compassionate or more understanding when I'm not really understanding or compassionate to her situation?
Perfect.
I'm more angry.
Yeah.
I'm like, how can you be there when all that we've done for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, good.
Perfect.
Sherry, where do we go from here?
Now, when you said to Chris, he did a great job of just kind of unzipping the issue, which was because I failed her as a mom. How do you hear that in your head? You told us what you think is the problem. How do you hear that? What's the negative belief about yourself in light of your daughter's depression? Like an I am statement or I have.
I have failed.
I failed. I have failed. Now, I love the Apostle Paul. He is the first mind coach that we ever had in the Bible because he says what? It matters what we think. So I have failed. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to do a 180-degree turnaround. I talk about this in my book, 180-degree turnaround. If the negative belief is I have failed, what's the opposite? What would you like to believe about yourself? If you did a 180-degree turn, what's the very opposite?
That I have succeeded, that I am a good mom.
Okay. Right. Mm-hmm. But can we always... Okay, so I'm a good mom, and I've succeeded, right, in raising mm-hmm. our daughter. Mm-hmm. Now, let me tweak it a little bit. What happens when when our kids are struggling? Is it harder to say I've succeeded?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
But you're a good mom. You provided a lot for her, right? Loved her.
Mm-hmm.
So what if we tweaked it just a little bit and you had the opposite be, I'm a good mom. I did the best I could.
Mm.
What do you think about that?
I do think that's true.
Okay.
I really did.
But I do think that's true. But what's blocking you? What's in the way of you owning that belief 100%?
How she is feeling, how she's now depressed. And like, so I must have done something wrong, you know, not done something or done something wrong or whatever. So
right. But you know what you're doing? You're making yourself the reason for her depression. You're in the way.
Mm-hmm.
You're actually in the way right now of being able to sit with your daughter because your shame, it's shame. This is a mm-hmm. shame pop-up. I have failed is shame. Shame is the culprit of all chaos.
Mm.
It is the culprit mm-hmm. of all chaos. And when we believe something, that's why the Apostle Paul said, hey, you know, it matters what we think. If I am in the middle of that shame pop up and I feel like, well, it is me. I must have done something wrong. My daughter's depressed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that someone's depression can be a genetic thing?
Yes.
Okay. Is there anybody in your history or your husband's family of history that struggled with depression?
His mother.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Now, we don't have to make your daughter his mother, right? But that very genetic component of somebody's brain, when we're born into this world, you know what's so weird is it's almost like Christmas cookies. We don't think about, we look at the picture of our baby and we see them as they grow up and we say, oh, she's got your ears, my eyes, our hands, you know, she's got an innie belly button. I have an outie, whatever. And we look at the outside of our kids, but you know, we don't consider that organs inside are also a part of what we get.
Mm-hmm.
In the goo of being created. Now, she could have gotten that genetic component.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And okay. So you might be taking on the shame of somebody else's depression struggle that could be genetic. And that shame and your belief that you're a failure might be keeping you from just being present with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm.
You're fighting your own shame instead of realizing you're a good mom. You did the best you could. And your daughter's struggling with depression. Now, it could be genetic.
Well, mm-hmm. yeah.
Or it could be Amy, mm-hmm. the amygdala.
Mm-hmm.
When we have events in our life, the amygdala, we have events that have been painful. It could be a breakup.
Mm-hmm.
It could be something that happened that you don't know about, happened with your daughter that she still has not brought forward. It could be a trauma event and that wires in a negative belief that I'm not safe, I'm not in control, I'm not capable, I'm not good enough. Who knows what it is?
Mm-hmm.
Those negative shame beliefs feed depression. And that's why therapy can be really a lovely intervention or mm-hmm. psychotropic medications mm-hmm. or supplements.
Yeah.
There's so many things to treat depression, but your ability to sit with her means mm-hmm. you've got to get out of the way and lay down your shame and start believing the truth.
Yeah. I want to address a false belief that is very common that I think sometimes is perpetuated by our own profession. I call it therapeutic legalism. you know, rules that no one could abide by or beliefs no one could follow or live out, and punished for it. What happens that behind this, Lisa, is that if I'm a good parent, my child won't struggle or suffer.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I can save them from the condition of being human.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. You're not God. We're not God. And so the idea that we have is that we think we're in control of something that we were never fundamentally in control of. Now, we hate seeing our children suffer. That's absolutely true. And we, as parents, it's instinctual to do everything we can to get them out of their suffering. But now what's happened is that because the belief of you can save your children from suffering, and if they suffer, you have failed.
Mm.
So now there is no tolerance for your child's suffering. Because it's no longer about them. It's about you failing.
Mm.
So what you're doing, Sherry talked about this in a previous show about codependency.
Mm-hmm.
Codependency is about fixing somebody else's problem so that I feel better.
Wow. Okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. So instead, it's like, if I can keep cultivating that these two things can be absolutely true at the same time, because they are true at the same time, I am a good mom, and my
I did the best I could,
and my daughter struggles with depression.
Mm.
Now, what does that feel like as Chris is walking you into that, to hold both of those at the same time? Both hands, your palms up, and you're holding both of those concepts. What does that feel like?
When you said it, you first said both of those things being true. I'm a good mom. I did all I could. And that was sort of the happy. But then when you said, and my daughter struggles with depression, that was kind of the letdown in my mind. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
that just took me right back down again.
Okay. So that just tells us that you need to get into some deep therapeutic work. What Sherry is landing on with, I have failed, that this failure message, and you told us that it's sitting in your heart and your gut, goes back a long ways and is really deep. And it's interfering in your life in some really painful ways. But friend, let me give you hope. It doesn't have to be like that.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
In fact, Sherry and I did a little bit of riffing off of each other in a little bit of what's called an EMDR protocol. You get into some good EMDR therapy that
it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing.
Yeah, it can help you through this. So, Lisa, we're going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back. And we're also going to, I want you to stay in line, because we want to get you connected to a good therapist, maybe an EMDR therapist in your area. You go to work on rooting out what's in your heart and your gut, and you're going to find freedom. I would even say sign up for an emotional freedom workshop. Do whatever you can, and there will be freedom and deeper connection on the other side of that. Lisa, thank you so much for calling in.